I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. I mean, we're back in the exact same place. I swear to you guys, we spend a lot of time trying to think and come up with topics. Some of the show is based on coming up with hypotheticals. I mean, there is no Chiefs news right now. There is no Royals news right now. There's just not a lot moving and shaking. So I tell you guys this all the time. The fact that you were listening to us today, I genuinely appreciate it. I understand why you're listening in November. There's a lot happening. There's a lot going on right now. There ain't a whole lot going on right now. I don't want to talk about the same topics all the time. But, I mean, Darren Peterson, he leaves me no choice. That's not how I wanted to spend my Thursday, but once again, Darren Peterson is the top story in college basketball because once again, he took a half day's work. I really defended the kid for a significant period of time, and I thought you guys were being too hard on Darren Peterson. On this show, like a month ago, I read you guys Ochai Agbaji's senior year, and I read you Darren Peterson's senior year, and Darren Peterson was better than Ochai was his senior year, and Ochai was amazing. His name is going to be up in the rafters. I've told you guys that I think Darren Peterson is the best offensive player we've seen in college basketball since Kevin Durant. I've spoken very highly of the kid. So I don't want you guys to make it seem like this is coming from an anti-KU, an anti-Darren Peterson stance. I want to see the kid hoop. If you're telling me he's the number one overall pick, I want to see the kid play 30, 35 minutes. I get that with every other freshman in college basketball. AJ DeBansta plays. Koa Pete plays. Caleb Wilson was playing. Cameron Boozer, he plays. There's only one guy who got unlimited PTO in his NIL deal. Those other guys, they didn't get that. Maybe they got to have better agents. They got to negotiate more vacation time. It just, maybe he's hurt. I have absolutely no clue. I can't tell you one way or the other. You can't tell me one way or the other. The optics continue to look so bad for Darren Peterson. He is in the Arizona game. He's out. He's stretching. He's doing all of this stuff. You clearly see him go over to Curtis Townsend and say no. And that's the last we saw of Darren Peterson. The last we saw. He then hears all of the noise, all of the background noise when it comes to him. He changed his Twitter avatar to Michael Myers. I'm thinking, all right, man, hey, y'all done upset this man. You remember that Michael Jordan? It became personal with me. Oh, man, you should have done that. Darren Peterson, here's the way you've been talking about him, and now he's ready to wreak havoc on the Big 12. He shot 3 of 10 in his next game and played 20-something minutes in a blowout. Then, in a game in which, in the first half, it looks like the old Darren Peterson is back. The guy that's going to be the number one overall pick in the draft. The guy who Bill Simmons was comparing to Kobe Bryant before the season. He was back. He's hitting threes and playing with the swagger and the bounce, and they're going on the road, and they're really putting it to Oklahoma State. And then, I mean, we are stuck in this Darren Peterson twilight zone. He is wide open. I don't know how you leave him open of all the players on KU's team. Why is no one near Darren Peterson, who had to be even cooking you then? He had 20 points in the first half before. No clue why he's wide open. KU makes the right swing pass. He's wide open. He shoots it. After making it, he looks at Coach Self and says, I'm good. And we never see Darren Peterson again. Never. It was time for the Theragun. It was time for the Darren Peterson chair. He was done for the rest of the day. I can't say what the breaking point is for Kansas. I don't know what the breaking point is for Kansas, but I've heard Bill Self say this line. I've seen him say this way too many times.
Well, we've had it more than a couple of times. And I didn't anticipate that tonight at all. I thought he was good to go. But obviously, we only got 18 minutes out of him. You know, that's disappointing because he could have had a really big night. You know, one thing about it is it's happened often enough that our guys have learned to play without him, even though that's not the way we want to play. But that's certainly something that we're not unaccustomed to, you know, right now.
Bill, you've been going through this now for 4 months. At every single turn, this has been happening. This happened in November. And I remember in November, we were kind of laughing about it on this show. And I thought you guys were asking enough to think that he was going to show up for your basketball game against Green Bay. Come on now. That's not part of my NIL package. And then you remember, Rob, we were saying, oh, hey, they got Duke coming up. No chance he misses the Duke game. The number one overall pick potential and Cameron Boozer is there. Darren Peters is like, nah, I'm good. I can't go today. Okay, all right. I mean, it's called the Champions Classic. I mean, if everybody else is playing in this, but I guess you're not playing. All right, cool. All right. Then we were thinking, hey, you guys are going to Las Vegas. I mean, why would you not want to play? It's called the Players Era. Why would you not want to play? Darren just, okay, I can't play. And we're thinking, all right. I remember the argument was, you know, we want him for the games that really, really matter. We don't care about these non-con games. We don't care about these games. Oh, all right, you're right. Okay, cool. Okay, I guess that makes sense to me. The Missouri game, couldn't finish the Missouri game. The NC State game, you remember, couldn't finish the NC State game. The argument was these are non-con games. We don't care about these non-con games. When we get to conference play, it matters. Okay, all right. We got to conference play. I keep hearing the same song. It's like when you work at a department store. How many times do I have to hear this song? We don't have other music. You guys been playing this same CD. Please, can we play some other music? Give me the ox. I'll play it. I'm tired of this song. He couldn't finish the TCU game. He opted out of the Arizona game. He couldn't finish the Oklahoma State game. He couldn't finish the BYU game. We continue to be in this. Bill, at some point, him being on the floor at the end of the game is a surprise. That's what I would not anticipate. That would be a shock to me if that happened. Bill said what we all think. I mean, this is a concern heading into March.
It's a concern, I thought we were past it, but obviously we're not. But it's certainly a concern, you know, you get into the NCAA tournament and you're playing a team just as good as you, and you need to have all your best players available, so to speak. So all it takes is for one day like that to derail not only a game but a season. So it's concerning, but I do think we're making.
Okay. All right. I mean, Bill says they're making progress. I mean, text line's telling me don't worry about it. Okay. I mean, all right. I understand. I mean, this is the number one story in college basketball right now. Maybe I'm wrong. I would throw this out, K-State fans, and then we'll play for you. I mean, Stephen A. Smith, Scott Van Pelt, I'm talking legitimate voices are talking about this. If you get a girl's number, let's say you guys been talking, let's say you match with her on Tinder or Hinge or whatever app you're using. Let's say you match with her, you guys exchange phone numbers. And then you say, hey, you know what? I want to take you out. You know, I got us a reservation somewhere. I want to take you to a restaurant you've never been to before. She's like, oh, okay, cool. I'm excited to do it. Let's say you make this plan on Tuesday. You're going to go out with her on Friday. On Friday afternoon, she hits you with the text. Hey, I'm sorry to tell you, but you know what? My kid is sick. I can't make it. That happens. That's life. Life sometimes interferes. You know, it's not a big deal. I appreciate you telling me. You didn't ghost me. You didn't stand me up. Why don't we reschedule it for another time you're free? She's like, oh, okay. I'm free on Wednesday. Okay. All right. Cool. Let's go out on Wednesday. You guys make a plan. You're going to go get drinks. You're going to go to Green Lady Lounge. Have a good time. She hits you up on Wednesday. Oh, I got to tell you again. I can't. Something came up. I got to reschedule again. All right. You let me know when you're free. That's what's happening right now with Darren Peterson. I just, I don't know how you're a KU fan and you can see what happened in November, what happened in December, what happened in January, what happened in February, and then tell me that you think this problem is going to fix itself in March. I just, that defies logic, in my opinion. So either one of two things are going to happen. Either Kansas will be in this situation in the NCAA tournament, and Darren Peterson is not going to be able to help them in the most important stretch of their season. It's going to be a real close game with 8 minutes left against a really good team, and they're not going to have Darren Peterson available. Or Bill Self is going to stand up and end the charade. That's what it's turned into. It's a charade. I hate the fact that this has turned into some referendum about the rest of college basketball. They're the only team dealing with this. So this is not an NIL problem, in my opinion. This is a him problem. This is a Darren Peterson problem. The check engine light has been flashing for weeks with Darren Peterson. And you can continue to ignore it, but eventually the car breaks down. That's what I'm seeing with Kansas. I think there is a clear problem with Darren Peterson, and everybody is just hoping that McFadden's and Pizza Bar and the Big 12 tournament are going to solve all of their problems and get Darren Peterson locked in. He hasn't been locked in at any point this basketball season. That's not just me saying it. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
There is no team in hell that should grab Darren Peterson number one. You cannot do it. The first ability is availability. And my brother, Darren Peterson, I hope you're watching because I'm talking directly to him and whoever, his family members, his inner circle, whatever, whoever they are. What the hell is going on? You are a college player. This 24, 25 games, he's already missed about 11 or 12 games. You pull yourself out? You made a J and then looked at the coach. I want to get out of here. And it ain't the first time he's done it.
He's done it a lot this season. I don't think we're picking on the kid. I think you either got it or you don't. I don't think anybody can give it to you. Patrick Mahomes has it. We've seen Patrick Mahomes dislocate his knee. I want to go back out there and I want to play. This guy has everything. Championships, already a Hall of Famer. It's just something that is in you. I want to be out there for my guys. It would kill me to be on the sideline watching my team play. I don't think Darren Peterson has that in him. And I think that we wrongly say this, I would say largely about American basketball players. I know there's a conversation about tanking and load management. Like, we can look at it. I mean, Anthony Edwards plays in about 75 games a year. Jason Tatum plays in about 75 games a year. Like, guys, basketball players want to play basketball. Athletes want to go out and compete. I don't get the energy from him that he wants to compete. And if I'm a team that is about to make a very, very big decision, do I want to base the next 8 years of my NBA franchise around this individual? That's what we're talking about. Do you want to base the next 8 years around this person? I'd have some real serious questions about that. You heard from Stephen A. Smith. Here's Scott Van Pelt. This is not a guy that's a hot take artist. Maybe you think Stephen A. Smith scream loud hot take guy. No one has that opinion about Scott Van Pelt. Here's what he said.
KU's tremendous freshman is, what do you do with Darren Peterson? For years, you've heard me ask on the radio and here on TV this question. How good is your good? His good is as good as anyone in this loaded freshman class. Look at Mox. He's not the consensus number one pick, but you will find him there a bunch. Questions aren't about ability, but the vagueness that surround his availability throughout this season. Head coach Bill Self calls those narratives that surround him BS. But I disagree on one point. When the presumed number one player sits out a home game against unbeaten number one Arizona with the flu after having all these questions and managing the minutes throughout the season with other issues, it makes people wonder, not about his talent, but about those intangibles that can't really be measured.
There's two parts of it. You have never, ever heard me question Darren Peterson's ability to play basketball. He is one of the best amateur basketball players we have ever seen. I've never questioned that part. It's the other thing. For a different reason. I say the same thing about Michael Beasley. Nobody's ever watched Michael Beasley said he can't play basketball. He's actually really good at basketball. It's the other stuff. It's the right combination of all the things that you got to put together in order to be that guy. Not just a good player, that guy. A guy that can take your team to the NCAA championship. A guy that can be the center of an NBA franchise and be consistently healthy for 2 months in the grind of an NBA playoffs and take your team hump. I think we had all the signs in the world with Ben Simmons, and we just all ignored the signs with Ben Simmons. We could tell at LSU he didn't really love basketball. We could tell back then he was just 6'10 and super athletic. I think we get a lot of those same vibes with Darren Peterson, and here we are again. All right, Rob, hit it.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Can't tell, the hits are brought to you by Baker University. Make your next era orange at Baker University, the first university in Kansas, and ranked number one in return on investment among private universities in the state. Baker University, forever in our orange era.
You know what I want to make hit number one? We don't got to talk about Darren Peterson no more. I want to talk about the Missouri Tigers. There's two kinds of people in this world. I've been both. We can spend time talking about how Missouri blew a 21-point lead with 8 minutes to go at home, or we can talk about how they beat a ranked opponent at home. You tell me which person you are.
1.8 to play. Mitchell, a baseball pass. Intercepted. Throwing it up is Tucker off the rim. He missed it. He intercepted it on the other side of half court, threw it up off the catch. It hit the rim, and Missouri survives at home. 81-80.
I mean, yesterday almost ended up being one of the just... I don't think I'd be here today if Missouri had lost that game. They're up 21 with less than 8 minutes to go. They were up 4 with 9 seconds to go. Vanderbilt hits a 3 to put them down 1. Vanderbilt steals the inbounds pass and has a wide open half court shot with the chance to win the game. The ball rims out. Rims out. That's how Missouri won the game yesterday. I don't care. I really don't. I don't care. Make fun of Missouri all you want. Mock Missouri all you want. I don't care. Right now, it's about putting yourself on the right side of the NCAA bubble, putting yourself in a position to make the NCAA tournament. They took one step further yesterday. I think Vanderbilt's kind of overrated. It does not matter to me. I don't care. Right now, it's about taking care of business. And Missouri and SEC play, they are doing a decent job of taking care of their own business. Here's Dennis Gates after the win.
First, I said, oh, because Mark threw the ball short, right? You don't want to use all your timeouts, but that's not the pass we want. And Mark Mitchell's parents, his dad even said something. He said, son, I got to teach you how to throw. Because that pass, and Mark knew, Mark threw some long passes before. But in that, it just credits our conference. It credits the fight that our guys have, the resilience. We did not break. We did not break. And that's the most important part when you are in games, one possession at a time. Yes, we were up 20. Who in here did not watch the Oklahoma-Vanderbilt game? We knew they would make a run. And our guys, they may have bent a little bit, but we did not break.
That's what I like to hear, Dennis. They bent. I mean, they bent as much as you could possibly bend. They did not break. That's what I like to hear. They got 5 games left in the regular season. They're 8-5 in SEC play. They're 18-8 overall. They are the most bubblicious team that we have ever seen. They got on the road against Arkansas. I mean, they're probably going to lose on Saturday. I could see them getting run off the floor on Saturday. I've seen this team enough on the road against good teams, and there's a possibility the belt comes out. There's a chance. They got a home game against Tennessee next Tuesday. They go on the road to play Mississippi State, who is not a good basketball team. They go on the road to play Oklahoma, who is basically Missouri. And they got a home game against Arkansas to finish out the year. Just win the home games and you win 10 SEC games. Win the 2 home games, win on the road against Mississippi State, and you win 11 games in the SEC. That should be enough to get you in the NCAA tournament. That should be enough. If you go 11-7 in the SEC, you should make the NCAA tournament. That's all I care about. I don't care about margin of victory. I don't care about style points. I don't care about hearing how they almost lost. They didn't almost lose. They won. That's all I care about. Rob, hit number two.
I don't need to hit number two real quick.
No, hit number two.
Where's Mark Mitchell throwing that ball at the end of the game?
Hit number two. They won.
Number two.
Hit number two.
I'm just saying, he threw it straight to Vanderbilt.
Two.
You were talking about a hypothetical Trent McDuffie
trade. We'll do that in the 5:30. I do want to play this audio for you guys. This is Mike Tannenbaum. I hate that me and Mike Tannenbaum are on the same side. I don't know if that's the company I should be keeping.
I would move on from Travis Kelce, and let me tell you why. When you're in the front office, you have to project what a player is going to do, not what they've done. I've made that mistake countless times in my career. And Travis Kelce is a first ballot Hall of Famer. But when you watch him and make an honest and sober evaluation of his 2025 performance, clearly his best days are behind him. We talked about their lack of explosive plays. If I was Kansas City, I would make the right, albeit difficult decision, move on from Travis Kelce, try to get younger, faster, more explosive at the tight end position.
I mean, the truth doesn't matter who says it. I think Mike Tannenbaum is right. Now, I know the Chiefs are not going to do what I'm saying, but I think Mike Tannenbaum is right. I think the Chiefs would be interested in getting younger, cheaper, more explosive at tight end. I don't think that is their plan. I think they're going to bring Travis Kelce back, and at $10 million, I mean, am I going to be the guy like, oh, it's the worst thing that ever happened? He's not the worst thing that ever happened, but my fear heading into next season, this is my fear. My fear is that we are going into another year in which Travis Kelce is expected to get 100 targets and carry this offense. I would love to tell you that is not the case. I would love to tell you that Travis Kelce is moving into much more of a complementary role type player. Not really sure if that's going to be the plan for the Chiefs in 2026. I think it's going to be, in some ways, a little bit more of the same. I'll ask you guys, 913-586-7965, who do you think gets more yards in 2026, Travis Kelce or Xavier Worthy? Who do you think gets more targets in 2026? Is it Xavier Worthy or Travis Kelce? Now, that might be on two sides. That's A, how good Travis Kelce has been. That also is an indictment that in year three with their first round pick wide receiver, we're not sure if he's going to get more targets than 37-year-old Travis Kelce, clearly playing his final swan song, I'm going to retire year. Where do you think, Rob? If I tell you right now, who gets more targets this year, Travis Kelce or Xavier Worthy?
I don't want this to be the answer, but I think the answer is Travis Kelce. And I really don't like that answer. But I have too often thought to myself what a lot of people have thought. Oh, Travis Kelce's coming back. He's going to be a role player. They don't need him to be, you know, Travis Kelce of old. They just need him to be a role guy. They don't need to be, for an NBA comparison, they don't need him to be Gary Payton with the Sonics. They need him to be Gary Payton with the Lakers. But every time he comes back, they throw him the ball 130 times a season. And their other wide receivers either can't stay healthy or can't stop breaking the law, and he becomes target number one. So I don't like this is the answer, but the answer to me is yes, he will be their top target in 2026.
Because I understand a weird year, how everything was. I mean, Travis Kelce had 108 targets. Second on their team was 74. Travis Kelce, and now he had a healthier year than Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy missed time. I don't think Xavier Worthy, in the amount of time, he missed three games this year. I don't think that Xavier Worthy was making up the 25 more targets this season that Travis Kelce got than he did. I don't believe it. I think we're going to be having the same conversations in October that we had last October. Hey, they need more explosive plays. One of the reasons they don't get explosive plays is one of their primary targets is just not explosive. Right now, Travis Kelce should be getting 60 targets a year, 55 targets a year. He should be, in a basketball example, an Al Horford type. Come off the bench, knock down a couple of threes, space the floor. Their offense, he's such an important piece of their offense that it worries me heading into next season. And I'm looking at their team. They got big issues that I think they need to address. They need to completely start over at running back. Their number one wide receiver could be off the team. Their number two wide receiver, it's possible he could be a bust. and their number one tight end is 37 years old. They got some questions on the offense. They got to turn over some of the talent. They got to get younger and cheaper and more explosive and more productive when it comes to their offensive skill position players. Coming up on the other side, we'll go through some hypothetical trades. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so right now on ESPN, there is a hypothetical trade that is being thrown out right now around the Kansas City Chiefs. Let me tell you guys what it is. The trade is the Chiefs would trade Trent McDuffie and their fifth round pick, which is pick 146. So it's Trent McDuffie plus 146. They would trade him to the Los Angeles Rams, and they would get the 29th pick in exchange. The Rams have two first-round picks. They have Atlanta's first-round pick that Atlanta traded it last year when they moved up to get James Pierce. And they have the 29th pick, which is their own pick, because they've lost in the NFC Championship game. So that's the pick they would give to Kansas City. Rob, I am imagining you are going to take this deal because you will take any deal if a team is willing to give you a first-round pick for Trent McDuffie, which is not a bad stance to take. But I don't think I really need to ask you that you are running to take this deal. You will take the 29th overall pick for Trent McDuffie.
And this was deal or no deal back in the day with Howie Mandel. I'm slapping. Yes, I want the deal. Boom, boom, boom. Deal, deal, deal. If I get a first round pick for Trent McDuffie in 2026, sign me up, period. Be incredible to have that value.
So I could be wrong. I do think there's a strong chance they'll trade Trent McDuffie. Like, I would be surprised if they trade him. It's certainly a possibility.
Apologies for interrupting. Define strong. Because I actually think it's more likely than not they sign him long-term than trade him. Now, I'm 60-40. I'm not, like, really strong and adamant in my stance. I'm not, you know, planting my flag. They're going to re-sign him. But I think it's 60-40 they keep him long-term as opposed to trading him. So, like, what's your percentage the opposite direction?
I would ask, why didn't you do that last offseason? If you really wanted to keep Trent McDuffie, you could have done that last offseason. And I guess the second part of this is the Chiefs just don't have a lot of draft picks. And there's only one possible move, aside from draft day. Like, they could move out of 9, move down to 15, get additional draft picks. Like, but, I mean, before then, if you want to go into draft day with real ammunition, there's only one thing they can do to get that, and it's trade Trent McDuffie. There's like one possible move. Right now, they got 9, 40, and 74. They could make one trade and could get you 45. It could get you 130. And you can go into this and you have 8 picks and you got cap flexibility and you can really be a serious player when it comes to the NFL draft. I don't think you can say that about Kansas City. Now they got the 9th pick. Now that's a big pick. And 40 is a big pick. So you got 2 picks in the top 40. Great. Outside of that, I mean, you just got fine picks the rest of the way. And you don't have a lot of picks. I mean, you don't have a pick in the 6th round. Don't have a pick in the 7th round. Like, I would say you don't really have a position to take a lot of flyers. You don't really have a chance to take a lot of lottery tickets this year, not when you only got 6 picks and you got 3 of them in the top 75. Like, you got to be looking for impact. You got to be looking for starters. You got to be looking for guys that you think can translate and can easily help you. So there's only one move that you can possibly make, I think, to put yourself in that position. That's why I think there's a chance. And I would say the other possibility, at least when it comes to him, is just the history of they've never paid a corner before. So the stat is, since 2018, they are third lowest when it comes to cornerback spending. They spent around $112 million total on corner. They've never had a significant contract at corner. One of the biggest contracts they've had is probably Christian Fulton. That's not a position they really spend a lot of money on. So, I mean, you're now asking them to go from never spending any money to now having some of the most money spent at the corner position. I think those are the arguments of why you wouldn't do it or why you think they could trade him.
Now, we can have this conversation. And again, I'm 60-40, they keep him. I will say this about they never do this with corner. There's always a first time.
I agree.
We We said they never draft corners. Then Trent McDuffie showed up. They never do fill in the blank, and they do it. Like, it happens. Eventually, no team goes forever just not doing a thing. I'd also tell you, you're right. They moved on from Ward. They moved on from Snead. They moved on from fill in the blank name. Are any of those guys as good as Trent McDuffie? I would tell you they have.
I would say no.
I would say I agree. So I would say, in a Madden analogy, they've been trading 85s and figure we can find the next 85. Trent McDuffie's a 91. He's the best guy they've had. Just because there's a history of them trading 85s doesn't mean they give up on the 91. And I would say, last counter argument, and I'm happy you're having this conversation. Historically, the Chiefs, they keep their own. They do almost to a fault. They do a really good job of keeping their own. Think of the guys that they draft, they develop, come through their system. They usually keep those guys. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes, that's a no-duh one. But George Karlaftis got re-signed. Chris Jones got re-signed twice. Travis Kelce's been re-signed twice, maybe a third time. Like, they do keep their own in-house historically. So I think, again, I'm 60-40. He gets a long-term deal done. I think they're keeping McDuffie long-term.
Yeah, I hate to make a point that would, like, solidify your point and what you're saying. I mean, they could end up going either way on it. Is they've never moved on from one of their own who was healthy. Moving on from Snead is a little bit different. Snead was not healthy. His knee was in shambles. I think everybody in the know knew this when it came to him. And that's why the market was what it was, and that's why you got what you got in return for L'Jarius Snead. When they've had a healthy guy that Brett Veach drafted, they have paid every single one of those. To your point, they paid Bolton, they paid Creed Humphrey, they paid Trey Smith, they've paid all of those guys. This is a big decision for them. It really is. This is a really big decision for them moving forward. And I would say, at least in the short term, this is kind of their last guy that needs to get taken care of. Who's the next guy after McDuffie to get paid?
I mean, now that Rice won't get paid?
I'm saying, but like the Rice, we're putting that conversation on ice right now. Who's the next, if they pay McDuffie this offseason, because you know for 2 years we all were looking at, well, Creed Hunt contract's coming up. This guy's contract's coming in. Paid him. They've gone down the line. There's one person left in the room.
Mm-hmm.
There's one person left sitting there without a rose. And we're trying to figure out if you're going to get a rose or you're going to be eliminated off the television show. That's where we are with Trent McDuffie. They don't have another player next up right now, which goes to the point that we were talking about earlier on the show of they just don't have a lot of really talented guys under 25 that you love anymore. They don't have those guys. They had those guys for 3 years up and down the list on this team. They had a bunch of players on rookie contracts who were between the ages of 22 and 25 that you loved. They do not have those guys right now. Like, let's make that list for tomorrow's show. Hey, who are the guys 25 and under right now on this team that you feel great about, that you feel foundational about? Because top of the list is probably Josh Simmons. It's probably number one on the list. Who else is on that list? Noel Williams? Rashard Smith? Like, you start to get real thin kind of after that point. Karlaftis is still on that conversation when he's 24 years old.
How old is McDuffie right now? Like, I think he was young when they drafted.
He's finishing up year four, so he's got to be.
I think he's close 25. To 20.
He's 25 now. He'll be 26 on September 13th. So he's right there on that cutoff date and about to be 20. Yeah. So if we sat here and went through this, and a lot of those guys that they won championships with who were 22, 23 years old, time has passed. They're now 25, 26, and you've already made the decision to pay them. And right now it just doesn't look like you have anybody next up in the queue. It just doesn't look like you have anybody next up who is a second-year guy who's coming off a big-time year that you know in 12 months you're going to have to allocate these resources to. So maybe that just strengthens the fact of, hey, we pay McDuffie, and now it's a little bit quiet. But you also got to factor in one of those contracts is going to come from somebody that's not currently on the team. Like, we're only talking about them taking care of their own guys. If you go get Breece Hall, that is taking care of a guy that just wasn't a guy that you drafted. If you go get Jalen Phillips, that's taking care of a guy that's just not a guy that's currently on your roster. All of the expensive guys are not going to be in-house guys. They're going to have to start going and outsourcing these things and finding a pass rusher, finding a running back, finding a player at a position that they haven't drafted well, and then paying that guy a little bit of money. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for K-State Athletics. 96.5. The Fan.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, Rob, I was watching a TikTok earlier today, and the question was, how much money do you need for Vegas to be fun? Like, how much money do you need to take to Vegas in order to have a really good time?
This include hotel or just
after that,
cash just, in pocket?
Okay. You've already flown there. You've already paid for your hotel. You land. You take the taxi to the horseshoe. And now you are, if you've been to Vegas before, you know that energy you get when you put some clothes on and you walk out of that door. From the moment you walk out of the door of the hotel for the first time to the moment you get back in the taxi to head back home, how much money do you need in Vegas to have a good time? So we were talking about this in my group chat, and my answer was this. I think it really depends on, A, like, are you paying for a family? Like, are you a father and you're taking your two? Like, that all depends. But let's say you are a single man and you are going with a group of other single men to go and have a good time at Vegas. Do you plan on going to a show? Are you getting a table? How nice do you want to eat while you're there? I think it all depends on those things. How much money I think you need. Because if, like, I like going to a couple nice restaurants. Hey, I'm here. I want to go to a place that I've never eaten at before when in Rome, right? So, yeah, I allocate for, all right, I'm going to go to this steakhouse. I'm going to go to this Italian restaurant. I'm going to do that. Do you plan on going to a show? Are you going to see a concert? Are you going to a festival? I think all of that factors in. If you're not doing those things, I think you can have a pretty decent time in Vegas for about $500. I think you have a pretty decent time. You're going to do a lot of sightseeing and just kind of just browsing around and hanging out. But I think you can absolutely have a pretty good time in Vegas for about $500 if you kind of know what you're doing.
I was going to say, there's levels. You can probably do it for $400 to $500. I guess for that same point, like, there's a chance that, you know, you don't, like, you gamble just a little bit as opposed to gamble a lot. Maybe you're just going somewhere playing the slot. Like, there's a lot of ways to maneuver, like, you know how I love a nice Fremont Street. Like, there's a way to do 100%. Vegas on the cheap. I'm not saying cheap like you're not having fun, but there's also a way like you're going to go to the Sphere. You're going to go get a table somewhere. You're going to, like, get a nice dinner. Like, if you're planning on going just to drink and, like, experience it, I think $500 is about right, which I think is about the same as most vacations nowadays.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's all about, like, how you kind of – because you're right. You can go to Fremont, and there's places – hey, if you want to spend $22 on a drink – I can show you where that place is. If you want to walk around with the tall boy that you spent $3 on, you absolutely can. For sure. So, yeah, someone's saying you're not having a good time in Vegas for $500. I just don't know if you're doing it, like, I don't know if you're doing it right then. If you don't think you have a good time, $500. You can get into just about any club you want for free. You can get into the adult clubs for free. And then it's just, all right, then it's how much fun do you want to have while you are there? But I could absolutely take somebody to Vegas, they got $500, and I'd be like, man, I had a really good time while I was here.
Yeah, to your point, you're walking around on the strip with a couple tall boys in your hand at times, and you're kind of just like going into casinos for the vibes, but you're not.
Now, I would say this. Once you have done it with more money, it is now impossible to now scale back and then do it with no money.
Yeah, but you can, like, for the $500, you can have, like, I'm 21 with my boys in college trip, and you'd love Vegas. And then you go back as a 30-year-old as an adult with a job. You're not doing the 21-year-old grimy version anymore, but it definitely exists. You can do it.
For sure. Someone says, are you planning on eating? You ain't eating nowhere good for $500. I'm going to tell you that right now. You are not eating anywhere good if that's the case. But yeah, you can eat every day. You absolutely eat every day.
A lot of
you're
going to
be eating
sandwiches.
A hot dog.
Yeah.
You're going to be eating pizza. You're going to be eating fast food for the most part. But yeah, I can definitely tell you, oh, hey, you go here, you can get, for sure. I can definitely feed you. And, like, you might have. And I would also say for the $500, you're going to be doing some walking. You're not Ubering everywhere. Like, you definitely don't plan on that. But, yeah, I really think you can do Vegas for $500 for sure.
Or if you want to go to $500, you want to go to a dinner, you get away from the strip, you go to, like, Henderson or whatever and get food. Like, there's a way to do it.
That's gonna really eat up that $500, though, quick. Get that $500
out there, yeah.
For $500, you better walk over to Ellis Island. You better walk over to Ellis Island, and I can get you a sit-down meal and a steak for $20. or you're on Fremont and you better catch one of the little happy hour deals. Which, you better go down to Tony Roma's and you better get you the little steak and shrimp deal for $7.99, or you better, or you can eat it in and out.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple different fast food places you could eat down there.
You can definitely eat in and out. They got Whataburger out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's it. You're going to be eating fast food. I hope you don't think you're sitting down getting a great meal for that. But yeah, you could do
better. You're not at Bobby Flay's, but you're having a good time.
Yeah. You ain't gambling a whole lot.
Or you're gambling once and you're kind of done.
Someone said you can do Vegas for that price. You can have more fun in Kansas City for $500. Yeah, no. I love Kansas
City. Actually, no, I think your 500 goes further in Kansas City.
100%.
So you could do larger, better scale stuff, if that's their point.
Yeah. I mean, I was also saying, like, if you're from out of town, you have to rent a car. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, so that's also factoring into it. But, yeah, if I gave somebody $500 and they stayed at the Golden Nugget, for example, or I gave you $500, you stayed on the Plaza, you would have more fun at the Golden Nugget than you would staying on the Plaza with $500, for sure. 100%. I had a lot of fun today. Hopefully you guys had a lot of fun today. I will not be here tomorrow. The Royals also have a spring training game, so it's Friday, and I don't gotta, and we have to show up until 5:15. I will not be here tomorrow. But I will be back here on Monday. I look forward to talking to you guys. Take care of yourself. It's The Draft.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.